Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months, charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
The Gamertag Radio Store is open. Get your limited edition GTR shirts, long sleeves, and hoodies right now. These are limited edition and will no longer be available after 12/31. So get one right now before they're all gone. And it's super easy. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Worldwide.
Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 725. This is the last show of 2017. This is your host, Danny. And joining me this week, we have Gamertag Radio crew up in here. We have Paris in the house. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good evening, everyone. How you doing tonight?
Good, good. And also we have Pete.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays, man.
What's up, man?
You guys ready for our nice little vacation until 2018 or what?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I literally told my boss today, I'll go, as when Friday gets here, I'm not thinking about this job or any of you people until 2018.
So you technically off for like the rest of the year?
Yeah, I'm done.
That's good. Any plans?
None of your business.
Wow.
Yes,
mean Paris.
I've been drinking. No, I'm good.
It starts, yes.
So good, so good. But head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. And yeah, make sure to spread the word. Spread the word about GTR. And we're going to be taking a couple weeks off until the podcast returns January 8th. So we'll definitely got to take a couple of weeks off, man. We need it big time, man. So
send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
This episode, we're going to talk about Game of the Year. Also, our review of 2017, our thoughts, and maybe some predictions about 2018. But first, before we do that, I want to talk to Paris for a second, man. Paris, looking at the camera, man. We got to talk.
Yes.
We got to talk.
Yes.
What happened early today, man? With this whole PUBG thing.
Okay. So, and again, let me preface this. This is my opinion. Just like when I dropped my NBA top seven since 81 on Twitter, this is just my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. I could be completely wrong in your eyes. That's fine, because that's what this whole thing is about. It's about opinions. But I highly disagree with Polygon giving PUBG a perfect 10. And it's not anything against PUBG. Hell, I've been playing PUBG a lot the past week and loving it. I love the game. It's a fantastic game. It has nothing against the game. It's, I feel, and this again, my opinion, I feel that a publication like Polygon, which is quote unquote highly regarded in our gaming industry, should not be throwing out perfect scores like it's candy. And the reason being is because PUBG, while it may be a very fun and engaging game and everyone that plays it adores it, it is a technical mess. As an example, just the other day, I'm in a match feeling good about myself, doing some good things, and then I get stuck in a fence and can't move, and then I die. You know, little things like that. But that's fine. I understand that's a part of the game, but to then just ignore the technical issues of a game and say, oh, man, it doesn't matter. It's still a perfect game because of what it means, you know, to the industry is not the word I'm looking for. It's irresponsible, in my opinion, because you're doing other games out there a disservice. You're doing these other developers out there a disservice by saying, hey, this PUBG game, which is a technical mess right now on the PC, let alone, let's not even talk about on the console. Oh, don't worry about that. It's a perfect game that stands the test of time against the very best Zelda games, the Mario games, you know, of the world. And you look at all the other fantastic games that came out this year as well. Doesn't matter. You know, I think that's irresponsible. And I think that's why, and again, this is, again, my opinion. I know people get mad at me for saying this. Why gaming journalism, to the vast majority, is a freaking joke. It is, because we are so immature in this industry, and we need to grow to frick up. And giving something like that a 10 is my point. It would be like, I can't even equate the movie right now to give it as an example, but it would be like giving a movie that you go to and you enjoy, but it's a mess and a bunch of different, you know what? Let's just take The Last Jedi. It'd be like giving The Last Jedi a perfect score. And movie is not a perfect score. It's a movie that will make you think and is engaging, but it's not perfect. So to just throw it out there and say, oh, this is a perfect game or a masterpiece or whatever you want to call it, I feel is irresponsible and just feeds into how we're perceived by the mainstream. And when I say the mainstream, people that aren't hardcore gamers that are on the outside looking in, they see gaming. Like whenever I talk to anyone that isn't into gaming and I tell them what I'm into, they never understand it. They never get it. They go, well, why would you be in the gaming thing? They don't understand why I'm so passionate about it. And that's why I had the reaction I did when I saw that PUBG got a 10, because I am very passionate about this. I want the genre to be taken seriously. And when you do things like that, it becomes laughable that you would do something like that and say a game that, while fun, does not deserve to get a 10. And to be honest with you, if they'd given it a 9 and Chris Plant would have still given his all his explanations, I wouldn't have blinked and would have said, okay, that's fine. But when you say 10, you are now saying it is one of the greatest games of all time. That is not fair to PUBG. That is not fair to the people that are reading it on Polygon. It's just how I feel. I could be wrong. I know people have been cussing me out on Twitter because I gave my opinion about it, but that's fine. Whatever. It's just my opinion.
There's been games in the past that never got into 10. Maybe they got a 7 or a 6, but they also, it helped to change the industry, right? Destiny 2 is one of them. I might even go back to even Tetris back in the days. That game was a game changer. Did it get a 10? No, there's a lot of games that didn't get a 10, but it still helped the industry to make to come up with like new things, new type of games and stuff. So a 10 is too much, man, in my opinion, man. A 10 is way too much.
I just think it's too much. Like when I think a 10, I think of something like The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. To me, that's a 10. You know, I believe Mario Odyssey, did Famitsu give it a 10? I can't remember. But the point is, it's these games that are going to last the test of time. When you look back and think about them, you're gonna have a smile on your face because they're iconic. They've done something to completely change the gaming industry. And look, while PUBG, the whole Battle Royale phenomenon, is a great thing, I guarantee you, as we go into 2018, we're going to see a ton of copycats come out for it. And that's nothing against PUBG. But PUBG is poorly optimized right now. It's literally not even in 1.0 as we record this right now. It's still technically not out yet at 1.0. And that's fine that it has those bugs and issues. It's kind of what makes it its own unique thing. But that also means it's not a masterpiece. It's not a perfect game. You can't say that and be Polygon. And I understand that Polygon has a right to their opinion. They can publish whatever the hell they want to publish, just as I have a right to say whatever I want to say on this podcast. I totally get it. But I also look at it and I just look at the industry as a whole. And I think it does the industry a disservice to just casually throw out 10 scores to games now. Because in my opinion, now every game should just be a 10. Why are we doing review scores in the first place? We should just get rid of the whole thing anyways. Everything should just be editorials when it comes to game reviews. It should just be that writer's opinion if he liked it or not. Hey, this game is fun. Here are the good parts of it. Here are the bad parts of it. I recommend you play it. I recommend you don't play it. Done. I mean, that's really what it should be. That's basically what we do here on this show is we say the games we like, we say the games that we don't like, and we give our opinions. We don't put a score to it. So it just goes into the whole fundamental thing of tying all this stuff into Metacritic. See, that's the other irresponsible thing about it, in my opinion. I don't know Bluehole's, you know, monetization model and how review scores will affect the 1.0 product, but we know there are a lot of development studios out there that their bonuses depend on those review scores and what their Metacritic score is. So potentially, I mean, Polygon could be doing the devs at Bluehole a solid by giving it a 10 because it's going to up its Metacritic score. But then let's take it on the flip side. Let's say they gave PUBG a 2 because of all the technical issues. You could argue that it would be worthy of the 2 because of the technical issues. But on the flip side, now you're taking money out of their pocket because it lowered the Metacritic score. That's why this whole thing just needs to be taken and just thrown in the trash, and we just do opinions, stop tying bonuses into the scores of these gaming sites, and just treat gaming for what it is, as entertainment and art, and we'd all be better for it. Just my two cents. I'll shut up.
P, are you going to say anything about this? You've been kind of quiet.
I'm letting Paris go off. We all have our opinions. I got flamed, roasted, destroyed on social media for my comments about PUBG. But I am going to go in on Polygon, and I'm agreeing with Paris. It's what he said. It's irresponsible. It's foolish, and it's clickbait media at its finest, at its highest level. When they give a game like PUBG a 10 out of 10. And this is coming from the fanboy of the GTR community with regards to PUBG, right? And I've said this on social media in response to somebody that we were, you know, that we were talking with. 500 plus hours in it, $150 to $250 on YouTube and Twitch. I subscribe to multiple people on Twitch that play this game almost either exclusively or predominantly. So I put plenty of time, effort, and my own personal money into the game. Whether it be from a, you know, I paid for the game just like everybody else. I didn't get a review code or anything from Bluehole or from Microsoft. I got it for PC. I've put all my time into the PC model, and I know what it's been like from April till now. I've dabbled in the Xbox One version. That's a totally different mess. We're not even going to try and use that to augment, which it wouldn't. It wouldn't be able to augment any score that we give. I think it would lower that number. But when it comes to what Polygon did, it's wrong. They should not give a game like PUBG. And when I say like PUBG, it's not a perfect game. It doesn't, while it does tick some of the boxes from an experience, an enjoyment factor, from, you know, giving people, you know, a specific, you know, illicit response, you know, from their, you know, from their brain stems, it's not a perfect game. If I'm in a game and it crashes every third time, regardless of whether we're in 0.9 or 1.0 beta, whatever, early access, game preview, whatever the hell you want to call it, the game should not have an issue like that from beginning to end. It should not be single-homed. You should have gameplay, experiences, and little to no technical complaints whatsoever. And as much as I love PUBG, as much as I wave that flag and raise the sword and shield in defense of the realm, PUBG has its technical problems. And on that grounds alone, you can't give it a 10 out of 10. Again, like Paris said, reviews are subjective. That's the one thing that I've been preaching since day one. This is my personal review of the game, and I gave it X. But you can't go out and brandish a, you can't give a score like that to a game that doesn't deserve it. Not to say that the folks at Blue Hole didn't bust their ass to put out the product, fix the bugs, add enhancements. My only complaint against what Paris said was poorly optimized. The 1.0 is as well as you could optimize that specific game as you can. Especially in comparison to what I played back in March, April, when I first fired that, when I first fired that up, that executable from Steam. That being said, I don't know. I don't know if it could get any, I don't know if you can correct what they did. And who knows, maybe they're just trying to go for that branding on the commercial for PUBG on an Xbox One X commercial or something, you know, you know, 10 out of 10 from Polygon, you know, thrilling from, you know, Gamertag Radio, et cetera. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
But see, Pete, that leads into the other thing, which, and again, I'm 44 years old. I'm grumpy and angry all the time. So what I say, take it with a grain of salt. But this goes into the whole thing of where you go on a NeoGAF or something, you're saying, oh, this game, this media company, they were paid off by the gaming company to give it that score and the this and the that. This just feeds right into it. This just feeds into that argument. And I guarantee you Polygon was not paid off by Blue Hole, or I'm not even saying it's that, but it's the perception. You just feed into that negativity of why people look at gaming journalism right now. And I'm sure I will catch it for saying this, but gaming journalism for the most part is a freaking joke. No one takes it seriously. And this is another classic example as to why, because there are too many personalities in the quote unquote gaming media that come off with these childish, because I got told F off earlier by a media person because he didn't like what I said, right?
Oh, you know? Journalist? Really?
Yeah.
We're not going to give them any shine.
Yeah. Let's not give them any shine. But the point, act childish like that.
I thought it was a random person. Okay, go ahead.
But my point is the lack of professionalism. And look, you know, we've been in this for over a decade. We've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. And mm-hmm. And again, this is kind of veering off of the PUBG thing specifically, but just talking about gaming journalism and the reputation that it's had, a lot of people are looked at as clowns. And this is why. This is just another classic example as to why, because you feed into it. You give the perception of the lack of professionalism, the fact that you're just throwing out tens like it's candy. And I'm sorry, I read it, and I don't feel like he justified giving it a 10. But again, that's my opinion. I'm sure people will not like what I have to say about that. But that, I mean, that's okay, though. You know, I'm sure a lot of people listen to what I have to say and they freaking roll their eyes half the time. But that's okay, too. You know, it is an opinion. They have a right to it. I have a right to mine. But it just so happens I don't like what they did. And I'm just voicing my opinion that I don't like what they did. I think it makes gaming industry as a whole look bad. But that's just my opinion.
And let's make sure that we, at least from my perspective, let's make this abundantly clear. This isn't an indictment on Blue Hole or PUBG Games or PUBG Corp or however, whatever company name they're going by this week. This is an indictment on Polygon for putting that score towards the title. Right? Okay. Let's make sure that we're getting that crystal clear. This isn't our complaint towards the game. This is Polygon, you know, putting a 10 out of 10 score on it.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. How you doing? This is Jason. I'm from New Zealand. Been listening to you guys for a while now. Now, my most anticipated game of the year would have to be Star Wars Battlefront 2. I was hyped up about it ever since it was announced. And it's about time we got a decent Star Wars game since the OG version, Battlefront 2. I grew up with that game, loved it. And now I'm moving on to this one. So no comments on the first one. Anyway, I didn't like that. It was only the one error. But yeah, enjoying this game. I love it, despite the loot box stuff. I'm kind of worried about that, though, because EA has not got any way of making money in order to make this DLC. DLC costs money. If they're going to get it out for free, how are they going to make it? You know? I'm scared that they might even cancel the game. I don't know. I'm this is the first decent Star Wars game we've got in a long time, and I really hope it does hold up in the end and actually, you know, keeps going for the next few years. So anyway, that's all from me. You guys keep up the good work. And, oh, also, I'm seeing The Last Jedi tonight, so I want to hear your thoughts on that. That'll be good.
Hey, GTR crew. Gurmeet here calling from Brampton, Ontario, Canada. You guys might know me as Nocturnal 007. I just want to say you guys' podcast is amazing. I always love the content you guys provide. I would have to say my favorite gaming moment of 2017 is when you play Cuphead for the first time and you just lose that first level, keep getting defeated, but something about that game just keeps bringing you back. And just overall, that game was just my favorite gaming moment for 2017.
Hey guys, my name is Casey from Montana. And I just want to let you know my biggest gaming moment from 2017 happened to come a few weeks ago when I was at the mall. Looked over, after I sat down on a bench, looked over and noticed the guy kind of sitting next to me was playing Nintendo Switch and he had me playing Mario. Well, I ended up asking him what he thought about the game and talking back and forth for a little bit. And then he asked me if I wanted to play and I said, absolutely. And that was the first time I got to play the Switch and I got about 3 minutes with it. But I instantly started getting flashbacks of, you know, playing Mario 64 and back in my childhood. And, you know, playing with my sister was the main thing that really sparked in my mind because that's who I always played those games with, you know, even Mario Kart and just, you know, Mario 64, you know, playing together and switching back and forth. That was a big moment for me because I didn't know who actually got credit for me playing video games as a kid. I didn't know how I got started, but it realized that my sister played a much bigger role in that than I expected. And, you know, our time together got kind of cut short because of, you know, our parents getting divorces and, you know, we had to switch to different homes basically. And, you know, we were always separate. So I missed out on multiple years with my sister, which I would do anything to get that time back. But, you know, that was a big moment, and I appreciate that guy so much for letting me play. And, you know, it just brought back so many memories. It only took 3 minutes to do all that for me, and it was awesome. Thank you.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, on that note, I think we should just go.
How's that for warm? Our...
can I say one more thing? Can I say one more thing?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I say all this stuff because I won't curse, but I freaking love gaming. I do. I freaking love it. I would not be here right now talking about this stuff if I didn't. Like, we're going to talk about, you know, games of the year or honorable mention, all that good stuff. It's there were so many amazing experiences that I had in 2017 that I don't want it ruined by nonsense. You know what I'm saying? So
totally agree.
I don't want people that aren't hardcore into gaming to look at my passion and laugh at it because they think it's a joke. I want them to see what I see. And what I feel is doing stuff like that gives those people the ammo to still say that gaming's just a joke. I don't understand why you're even into it, because I hear it all the time. All right, done.
All right, so let's talk about 2017, man. Overall, our opinion, like our review of just gaming this year so far. Whoever wants to start first, we can go from there, man.
So
can we start off with most disappointing?
Most disappointing. Yeah, okay. We could do that.
I'm down.
We could do that. Let me get my list here.
Oh, yeah, I can answer this one.
Can I go first, or you guys want to go first?
Well, I brought it up, so I want to go first.
All right, go first.
Okay, all right. No, all jokes aside, I did want to bring up most disappointing, and I wanted to start it off because I know this is going to be surprising to some people.
It's going to be the same.
My most disappointing for 2017 is going to be Destiny 2.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. It's Destiny 2. And here's why. You all know how much I love that game. 2017, on a personal note, was a highlight for me in gaming because, you know, I got unprecedented access with Bungie, Destiny 2. Hell, I went to the studio. I got to review the game early. You know, I went to the reveal event. Obviously, all the E3 shenanigans that happened with myself and Bungie. Hell, a conversation that I had the other day that you guys know about, my dealing with Bungie and Destiny 2 has been a highlight for me in 2017. But when I look at the game itself, it does not have that magic that it had the previous 3 years with Destiny 1. Of course, Destiny 1 did not start off in the greatest way, but it improved over time and became this fantastic game by its third year. Destiny 2, you figured, would have picked up where that left off and kept it going, and it went backwards. It went so backwards to the point that, you know, they caught a lot of heat here in the past couple months with, you know, the XP scandal, just the lack of stuff in the end game, just some of the oops, we didn't realize we were cutting people off that didn't buy the DLC from some of the prestige stuff. We'll go fix it now. And look, they had a communication problem. And here's my personal opinion on why they had that communication problem. I think they bought into their own newspaper clippings somewhat. I think they thought their stuff didn't stink. They thought their ideas were the best for the community versus listening to the community. And they took a step back. I do believe they've realized that they've taken a step back and they're taking action to fix it. And I think in 2018, they'll get this IP back on track. But as we sit here at the end of the year, Destiny 2 is not the game that Destiny 1 was. And to me, that's just a disappointment. It really is. There's a lot of things they still need to fix in that game. And it's going to take time to do it. And they've lost people. They've absolutely lost people that were hardcore people in Destiny 1 who've decided to move on. And that's a shame for what that IP and that franchise should be. So for me personally, Destiny 2 would have to be my most disappointing game for 2017.
I go with this one too. Star Wars Battlefront 2, man. I was kind of hyped for it. Because, you know, I played the first one. I was like, oh, man, I see the potential. You know, it's DICE, everything. Play the campaign. I think it was decent. Multiplayer, not so much. And adding the whole microtransactions and all that stuff, that kind of even, that killed the game, basically. Killed it big time. And, yeah, that was very disappointing, man. Very, very disappointing. And, look, I even went to the event and everything, got to play it with a lot of friends. We had fun, but I think with everything that happened after the game got released, that's when everything just went downhill, man. Same exact thing with Destiny. Like, I love Destiny. I love Destiny 2. I really like the game. But I stopped playing it, and I might go back if they add, like, new stuff. But there's so many other games to play, man. You know? So, but I'll go with Star Wars Battlefront 2. I'll put it up there, too. And I have two more to mention, but go ahead, Pete.
Well, my comment to you is, it's, you said you added Destiny 2 to that, but like, if you look at
No, I didn't.
Okay, because I was gonna say, because that was Destiny, like, in your list of Destiny. That was in your list of most played games.
yeah. No, Destiny 2. I really like Destiny 2. I'm saying that it's like Paris. You know, he's disappointed with Destiny 2. I like it. I think a lot of the people are saying that it's like too casual compared to the first one. The first one was more for, like, the hardcore. But I really enjoyed Destiny 2. So I was very surprised hearing that from Paris.
I'm glad. Yeah. And honestly, and that's why you saw me raise my hands, because I had a really strong suspicion that was going to be his answer, because that's mine as well. Considering, hell, Paris and I are founding members of the Destiny Wives Club, right? I mean, I know I'm not supposed to curse.
Keep it clean.
I know.
Professional.
This game damn near created divorces in our families. In more ways than one.
I think I might be divorced and not even realize it. You know?
Grumpy Drunk Paris is obviously everyone's favorite Paris. That was a game that I had high hopes for. Hell, I've rearranged my office just in anticipation of that game, and it didn't live up to. And I don't know if that's more the buildup of the game in my mind versus what was actually delivered at the end of the day. I don't have as much disappointment. This is more of a counter towards what Danny was saying with Battlefront 2. I didn't have a lot of I had some anticipation for it, but not enough that it was a disappointment. And that's not because of the gameplay. That's just because of some of the business decisions made by the company. I don't think that should be an indictment towards the game itself. The game is the game. The decisions on the back end, you know, is what I really truly have. Because I had some enjoyment in Battlefront 2. Mm-hmm. It was the ancillary, you know, it was the adjunct parts of the game that I had a complaint about. The other one that is more of is similar to that same vein and disappointment, not as high as Destiny 2, but right below it. And I'm trying to pause myself on giving this one because I haven't given it the effort that it deserves, is Mass Effect Andromeda.
That was going to be my other one. Yeah.
I have that one too on my list. Yeah. You know what's funny about this, about Mass Effect? That, all right, so a couple of days ago,
why'd you just Neo, take over? Pete was talking, and you literally
no. I'm just saying.
He's just saying.
To Pete.
He's just saying. Shut up, Pete, while I just take over the conversation. That's what you're doing.
No, seriously, it relates to Pete. It relates to Pete, and it relates to you. I just found this old video that was supposed to be part of the documentary, and one of the clips is our conversation. We were like, man, that's kind of strange that EA is not really showing the game. They're not showing no gameplay, nothing. It's just, you know, trailers. And that was 2 years ago. And I think last year, I think either Paris or Pete were also saying, again, why they're not showing gameplay. It's a little bit weird. And look what happens.
I'll just say this, and then I'll let Pete get his thought in. Remember, I freaking called it, dude, at the beginning of the year. I was telling y'all. I was like, man, my Spidey sense is tingling. I'm staying away from Mass Effect. I told you. And then look what happened. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Pete.
No, it's go ahead, Pete. Again, and I want to preface it with, I didn't give it the attention it deserved, right? Hell, I gave it no attention simply because of everything that was heard and seen through Let's Plays, et cetera, and reviews were poor. DLC and updates later, it's supposedly a much better game than what we originally got day one. And maybe it'll find its way into my back catalog to eventually get played. But when you have a game as highly anticipated and as highly valued in the industry as this BioWare product, right? This Mass Effect, you know, world and universe that it almost, I can't say it gets up to the Star Wars type style, but you know, it's up there when you talk about IPs in video games. That people are, you know, people are clamoring for it. People, you know, hell, there's an N7 day. People dress up as Shepard, et cetera. Or, you know, if they want to dress up as FemShep or any of the other major characters that people know from this iconic title. And then it gets a letdown like we got. A game that we were all hyped, beyond hype, to play. And then for it to fall on its face like it did, it's a disappointment.
Do you see yourself giving it a chance?
I want to.
At all?
I want to, but unfortunately, my plate is full. I'm like at the buffet line on the fourth serving, and I'm just filling up the plate just because I'm used to walking up and filling up the plate. I'm not good. I don't know if I could eat anymore. You know what I'm saying? I got so many games on my catalog right now to play. I don't know if I could find time to slip it in.
Yeah, because I had an opportunity to buy the game for a very cheap price, and I said, nope, I'm not supporting that. It's not the same. Not the same. To me, still to this day, I think Mass Effect 2 is my favorite Mass Effect of the series, man. That's the best one, I think, in my opinion.
Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months, charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Happy holidays, everyone. The coming weeks are a great time to get together with friends, family, and loved ones. We'll all be sharing memories, meals, and likely festivities that might include a couple of drinks. With that fun also comes a responsibility and understanding of the risks of driving drunk. You can get arrested, possibly lose your job, and the immense danger you pose to yourself and those around you simply isn't worth it. all of us here at Gamertag Radio encourage you to plan ahead or have a designated driver. And if that isn't an option, because hey, things happen, our friends at NHTSA developed an easy-to-use app to help get you home, even if you're drunk. It's called the Safer Ride app, and within 3 button presses, you're done. It's that easy. It's literally get a taxi, call a friend, where am I? And from there, it gets you to whether it's calling your friends or calling a local cab that's in the area. It's legit that easy. So check out the Safer Ride app. Help NHTSA end drunk driving by doing your part and use the Safer Ride app to get home safely. For more information, head on over to the iTunes Marketplace or Google Play and look for the Safer Ride app. Drive sober or get pulled over.
All right, so we're on the same page about Mass Effect. Is there any other ones? I have one more, but I don't know if you guys heard of this game or not, but Rime. Have you heard of Rime? It's an independent game.
Mm-mm.
It came out for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and they announced it was coming out for the Nintendo Switch. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to buy that game for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4. I'm going to wait until it comes out for the Nintendo Switch. So I finally got to play it when it got... Actually, they sent me a code for that of that game 2 weeks before it released. So I was like, all right, start playing it. It was unplayable. Graphics was horrible. Frame rate was pretty bad. Very slow. That it just killed the whole vibe, man. I just stopped playing it. I didn't like it at all. And I think I talked about this on Twitch or in a podcast, just search and stuff. But yeah, that was one of my disappointing games, man. I was very excited to play that on the Switch, but it was pretty bad. It was horrible. So yeah, Rime for the Switch. Paris?
No, that's all I had.
That's it? Okay. Pete, and that's it?
I guess you put a special category for, you know, I guess third place for most disappointing was Agents of Mayhem. I had hypes on there because I love Saints Row, right? I love Saints Row. The last two prior to Agents of Mayhem was a blast, you know, stupid fun. I had anticipation for it and it fell down. It just didn't live up to the hype. And I don't know if that's because it was rushed on its way out the door or what have you. The hype was there. You know, the marketing push was strong. I just don't think it delivered.
Let's go with the next one. Before we go to the top five, I think we got to give props to games that didn't make the cut, but I think we should give them props because it was a great game. Great game. So my first one, I have to put this on the list. To me, it was one of the scariest games that I played in a very long time. Resident Evil 7. My God, by far one of my favorite Resident Evil game right now so far. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it so much. Very, very scary. I put it up there. And it came out early this year. It came out back in January. So Resident Evil 7 is my pick. I have a couple more, but if you guys have more, go ahead.
Actually, I think you should just say all of yours.
Oh, okay. All right. So the next one is... All right. So it was hard not to choose this game on my top five. And you will see why after. But I have to put Ghost Recon Wildlands in my honorable mentions. I have to put it up there. It was very hard to choose, man, with top five or not. All right, so the next one. Really like this game. Wolfenstein 2, Paris. Wolfenstein 2 is a part of my honorable mentions. And also one more, another scary game that came out earlier this year. Actually, it came out back in October. The Evil Within 2. Great story. Scary as hell. Oh, my God. That game was top-notch. Love it. And I love that. It was strictly single player all the way. So I got to give props to Bethesda on that, man. So Evil Within.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go with my honorable mentions. First one, similar to yours, Ghost Recon Wildlands. Felt it was a very enjoyable game. Loved the open world of Bolivia that they created. Fantastic co-op experience. Wolfenstein 2, also in my honorable mentions. Love the story. I love the Wolfenstein franchise, but it... just sat out my outside of my top five. Call of Duty World War II actually made my honorable mention because I feel like they're getting Call of Duty back like they say, the marketing campaign, boots on the ground. They're getting Call of Duty back to actually being Call of Duty. And I really enjoyed that campaign that they had. And the multiplayer is pretty fun as well. So definitely, I know a lot of people, actually, I shouldn't say a lot of people haven't played it because, hell, it was the number one selling game for November. So obviously a lot of people are playing it. But if you haven't checked it out, definitely this is getting Call of Duty back to, in my opinion, being fun again. Mario plus Rabbids. It didn't make my top five, but I've absolutely fell in love with that game at E3, and it was such a joy to play on Nintendo Switch. That was the game that ultimately justified me getting a Switch, was that Mario plus Rabbids. Loved it. That was definitely probably, if I had to say a sleeper hit for 2017, that would have been it for me. And then finally, PUBG. It may not be a 10, but it's fun as hell to play. I'm truly looking forward to the 1.0 to come out, and jumping in with Pete and all the PUBG thugs on our Discord channel and getting shot in the back of the head.
A 10 out of 10.
Yep. I can see it now. Gamertag Radio's Paris Lily angrily gives it a 9 out of 10.
That'll be front page of N4G tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. All right.
Pete. All right. It's funny. Honorable mentions are almost the same for all of us. Ghost Recon Wildlands just missed it. Just missed the top five. The story wasn't the greatest story, but god damn, that game is fun from a co-op experience. It's similar to the PUBG silliness, where everything you expect to go right goes right out the window and goes into Wrongsville at 100 miles an hour when you're playing co-op. Couple of things that make it wonky, kind of like, you know, the overpowering sync shot. You could go in there and destroy the game regardless of difficulty level. The multiplayer was fun. The new Predator update, I mean, it's, you know, hats off to Ubisoft. That's the way that they keep giving it the Rainbow Six Siege service right now, where they're just dropping content and fun content for people to play free. Is, you know, that's amazing. You know, so shout out to that entire team out there for doing a bang up job on that title. Wolfenstein 2. Great game, great story, but just misses out on my top five. Call of Duty World War II, great game, and I mirrored, you know, Paris's, you know, answer, and we've been saying this since E3 when we played it. It's a great step forward, bringing Call of Duty back to GOAT status, regardless of sales figures. Because from a sales perspective, it's always going to be up there in the top games sold of the year or of the holiday season. But from a fun experience, story experience, takes it away from what, you know, it's coming back to what we all remember Call of Duty being, right? And then I'm right there with you with Mario Rabbids. I mean, it was fun. It wasn't enough for me to buy the game, but just experiencing it enough and seeing the joy of the hell that you two had and everybody else that I know that has played it puts it in that honorable mentions category.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, Gamertag Radio listeners, I know we're getting ready for the holidays. A lot of us are getting brand new consoles, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch. But do you have headphones for your gaming experience? The folks at Sennheiser has these headphones called Game Zero. This was aimed to design the most comfortable and best-sounding closed professional headset on the market. And they think they just done that. It has automatic microphone, mute, noise-canceling microphone, clear communication. If you're planning to play some battlegrounds, you definitely need some clear communication with your teammates. And also, this is important to me too, comfortable leathered ear pads. If you're going to be playing for a couple hours, you need headsets as comfortable. So if you want to know more about Sennheiser's Game Zero headphones, go right now to their official website, Sennheiser.com/game-zero. That's Sennheiser.com gamezero.com/game0. Find out why they think this is the most comfortable and best sounding close professional headset on the market.
Hello, Gamer Tag Radio crew. This is Matthew, aka Arctic Warlocks. I wanted to submit this voicemail into entry into the headphone giveaway. What is your best gaming moment for 2017? Mine would have to be the playing Ghost Recon's Wildlands on my PlayStation and platinuming the game, less than 2 months of it being released. I was on the fence initially when I saw the initial gameplay trailer reveal several E3s ago, and then after hearing Paris and Pete talk about their trip to Paris, getting hands-on, behind-the-scenes time with the game, I was all in and ready for it. I found the open world very enjoyable, either going solo with the AI, with the OP sync shot, or with online friends. We basically got together almost every night to take down the cartel, unveil some of the map, and hunt for those weapons and gear mods and all that stuff. All right. Take care, guys. Talk to you guys later. Thanks. Bye.
This is Mario. Favorite gaming moment, 2017. Probably say Cuphead. Such a fun game. Brought back some memories of how gaming used to be back in the Super Nintendo days. But on a personal level, I'd say it was my favorite moment was playing Overcooked with my three daughters. We had a blast playing that game. There were a lot of heated moments, and but there was a lot of joy and fun, and we just had such a good time.
Hi, this is Kevin calling from the Virgin Islands. My favorite gaming moment of 2017 has to be when I got back my internet at my house after being through Hurricane Irma on the 4th. And then Hurricane Maria on the 19th. I was unable to play any games because no internet, no power. But on the 11th, when I got back my internet, I still have no power, but I have a generator. My friends at Destiny really helped me out. I mean, the Destiny community really helped me out. So that has to be my favorite moment of 2017 when I was able to play games and be with my friends. I consider that a blessing after being through 2 Cat 5 hurricanes in about less than a 2-week span. All right, love the show.
Yeah, I'm just calling. My favorite moment of this year's game had to be when they released Shadow of War. It was at a GameStop, it was midnight. There was just a huge line for Shadow of War. Everyone was there, everyone was excited, and then getting home, unboxing it, and it was just an amazing experience.
Back on the scene. This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so I think we're ready for our top 5.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Number 5. I'll go with Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle. The reason why I picked that game is it was one of the biggest surprise, I think, this year. This game came out, was announced, I believe, back in June. The game came out in August. Huge success. Sold a lot. And also helped push the Nintendo Switch even more up, man, when it comes to sales. Love the story. Love the concept. It was just totally unique and it was totally different. And the story was really well done, in my opinion. And I was playing this nonstop, man, on my TV, on the go. It was also even funny in certain parts of the game too, man. So it was the biggest surprise, in my opinion, of any other game that came out this year besides PUBG. I think that Mario Rabbids was like one of my favorites this year, man. So I've definitely got to put in number 5. And I have to mention this. One of my favorite moments of 2017 was when the developer of this game was crying. That special moment when Nintendo was giving him props on stage and everything like that, man. That was like a very cool moment, I think, too, man. So yeah, Mario Rabbids.
I just have to echo on the Mario Rabbids. Another highlight for me of 2017 was when you were interviewing him at E3 And I just finished playing Mario Rabbids, and I happened to be walking by, and you actually can hear this if you go back in the archives and listen. And I just jump in the middle of your interview, and I thank him for making such an amazing game. And that was like literally my first time playing it. Here's the guy that made it, and I had a chance to talk to him, and I had to interrupt you. I pulled a Danny, and I interrupted him, and I just jumped in and thanked him for the game. It was fantastic. But going with my top five, number five, let me just say this. I did not play Neo or Persona 5, so I cannot comment on either one of those games. So that's why you will not hear them in my list, but I understand how great both of those games were in 2017, but this is just my personal list. Number five for me would be PUBG. No, I'm kidding. It would be
10 out of 10.
No, Cuphead. And I say Cuphead because it is that throwback game to the mid to late 80s of 2D platformers that were hard as hell and that may have frustrated you to no end, but you couldn't put the sticks down. You had to keep playing until you figured it out. The soundtrack and the artwork in this game is probably some of the best that you will see in gaming in 2017. Just with the old 1920, 1930s Mickey Mouse / Popeye animation that they did was just amazing in that game. I absolutely love and adore that game. I have said curse words I didn't even realize I knew playing that game, but you know, it's something that everyone should experience if they can. It's $20. You can play it on the Xbox. You can play it on Windows 10. It's a fantastic experience. So got to say number five is Cuphead for me.
Cool.
Great choice. And they went double platinum too. They just announced it today. Very cool.
All right. Top five. Number five for me, Assassin's Creed Origins. Compelling story, visually spectacular. I mean, you could get lost just traversing the desert, jump on your camel, in my case a death unicorn, but it's a beautiful game. I love that again Ubisoft is just dropping content with the trials stuff. Great game. And I don't know if there's people that are on the fence about a game that would sell a console, especially from like an Xbox One enhanced perspective, Assassin's Creed is a phenomenal game to get started on because wow. It's that good of a game.
Yeah. You know what, Pete, I pick that as number four, my pick, and I totally agree with what you're saying. I just love it. It feels like I'm in a real world when I'm playing this game. You know, like I think Ubisoft, and I think Paris mentioned this a couple of days ago, that they are number one when it comes to like open world games right now. So far, I think they surpass a lot of companies. Because a lot of their games has been that way, open world. But man, something about Assassin's Creed, it just feels like I'm part of it, man. I'm part of their world, man. You know, talking to people, walking around, there's even animals trying to attack you. Like you won't get that type of experience with other games, man. So, and the story is just freaking amazing, man. I love the story, love the soundtrack. And it's true, like when people ask me what type of game I should get for the Xbox One X, so I could get like my first 4K experience, that's one of the games I always mention, man. You know, but aside from Gears and Halo 5, but Assassin's Creed is my pick up there, man. Yeah, so number four, Assassin's Creed.
It's phenomenal proof that taking time off from the yearly release of titles will do you good. And we see the proof in the game, right? You see, because franchise fatigue was killing that title, in my personal opinion. You know, people were getting sick of seeing every year a brand new Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed's this, Assassin's Creed that. This was a great opportunity for them to take a step back, regroup, reinvigorate the franchise, which is what it needed. And you see, you know, that's the result that you see. So
And I will just continue the train going. Say my number four was also Assassin's Creed Origins. And you've already said everything, so I don't need to repeat it other than to say that this was the first open world RPG game to make me actually second guess playing The Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. It was that good. And, you know, just kudos to Ubisoft Montreal and that team, the Black Flag team, for what they were able to do, because they actually had the time to do it this time versus rushing out an Assassin's Creed every year. So hopefully Ubisoft has taken some lessons learned from this, and we won't be seeing another Assassin's Creed until 2020.
Hey, you know? I want them to take their time.
Exactly. I do too.
Take their time. No rush.
Cool. My number four is Horizon Zero Dawn from Guerrilla Games.
Interesting.
Another great game. And again, we're going to say it's a great game because this is top five for all of us, right? Amazing story. Definitely a reason to go pick up a PlayStation 4, more so a PlayStation 4 Pro, so you can get all those amazing 4K like graphics. Amazing opportunity to put a female in the starring role as the protagonist in the story. From the main quest to the countless side quests, and goddamn all of those wonderfully designed biomechanical animals all throughout that entire planet. Hell, the weather effects alone in that game is spectacular. So the writing, sound, visually, and everything, it's damn near close to a perfect package. So shout out to Guerrilla Games, Horizon Zero Dawn, number four.
Number three, I'll go with Cuphead. And the reason is, this is why I'll pick Cuphead. It was like the most challenging game that I played in a very long time, right? The art style, the soundtrack, the bosses, oh my God, they're tough as hell. And here's something special too. Going to my brother's house, I was hanging out with like my nephews and stuff. And my six-year-old nephew, he's only 6 years old. This is the game that he plays. This is all he plays is Cuphead. He plays it so much that he finished the final boss on expert, and he got an S. That's how good he is. And now he's passing every boss and every level on expert. And I believe last time I checked, he's only missing two bosses, and for him to finish it on expert. I haven't really had that experience with them, man. You know, maybe Mario's like the closest, you know, and I think Xbox needed a game like this big time. You know, and it was something different, and I think it was a game changer in it for this industry right now, because the art style, like I said, the music, how challenging it is, and I was just laughing when I see a lot of people complaining about how hard that game is, and I see my nephew is only six, and he's having a great time, and he's playing this nonstop, and he mastered them, man. He mastered a lot of these bosses too, man. I finished it live on Twitch, and that was a very cool moment for me too. I've never done that before, and seeing people watching me play, they were also hyped, and they got excited. They were giving me props. They were even, you know, cheering me on when I was, you know, stuck at the last boss and everything. So I don't know. That was a very cool moment, and I just love it, man. I haven't had an experience like that so far in any game so far this year, and I think Cuphead is one of my favorites, man. So number three, Cuphead.
Yeah, I'm going to switch up the order, and I'm just going to continue with what you're saying. That was my number three as well. As Paris said, one of those games that really make you test the limits of your curse word vocabulary. One of the few games that actually my daughter decided she wanted to throw her hat in the ring. My son threw his hat in the ring. My wife threw his hat in the ring. And we all love slash hate the game equally. Frustratingly difficult to the point of enjoyment. Being able to take artwork and art design and inspiration from the 20s and 30s a century ago and bringing it back to the 21st century for millennials and seeing them enjoy it is an enjoyment in and of itself for me. Fantastic game, difficult as hell, but god damn, it's good to have a difficult game again in 2017. You know, we gave Ghost Recon Wildlands kudos, or I blasted them for the sink shot, making the game too easy. And here I am applauding Cuphead and that indie studio, A, for making a game that's difficult and making people appreciate difficulty in the video games. But let's all give a round of applause for getting an indie company to do a game that's people are considered top three or higher for 2017.
And only $20.
And hey, you don't see games like that giving you quality value for your dollar spent. So, mm-hmm. Paris?
And my number three is PUBG. Oh, I'm kidding. It is
10 out of 10.
My number three is Super Mario Odyssey. I mean, I absolutely adore that game. It takes the best of Mario Brothers 3, Super Mario World, Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy, and it puts it all into one game. And, you know, you talk about system sellers. To me, that is a system seller for the Nintendo Switch. It's just anyone can pick it up and play it. It's easy to pick up, hard to master. It's one of those games once you get into the later end game stuff with it, trying to find all the moons and just all the secrets, which I'm pretty sure no one on the planet except maybe Miyamoto has probably found at this point, that are still locked away in that game that we just don't even know about, is why I'll keep coming back to it again and again to play, because every time I play it, I just have a stupid grin on my face because it's that good. Mm-hmm. It's... without a doubt, it's my number three, and it was tough actually putting it number three because it easily could have been number one on my list as well. But Super Mario Odyssey, really love that game. If you haven't played it, definitely go pick it up.
All right, so the next one. Oh, it's getting close, guys. It's getting close. Number two. This was really hard. I'm telling you now. It took me a while to actually put everything in order because I was like, man, there's so many great games and everything. So my number two game is Legend of Zelda. Don't get me wrong, I truly love this game. This game is freaking amazing. This was the first game that I played on the Nintendo Switch. Love the level. It's very challenging. Love the story. And now they even added voice acting there. I was like, oh man, finally on the Zelda game. This is awesome. I think it was a very special game. And even if you don't have a Nintendo Switch, you could play this on the Wii U and still get the same experience too, man. So I'm going to explain why this was not number one after we go to everybody, once everybody finished, and I'll go talk about number one. But go for it, Pete, or okay. Paris.
You want to go, Paris, for number two?
No, go ahead. Yeah, we'll just stick with the order. Go for it.
Number two, Mario Odyssey. This is the game that made me go out and buy a Switch, a device I said I would not buy.
That's just a lot.
A device I said I probably wouldn't buy in 2017 after playing that game at E3 with Danny upstairs in a Nintendo booth. It changed my mind. After having played Splatoon with Danny, after having gotten the opportunity to play Mario Kart on the Switch while we were eating fish sandwiches at La Camaronera in Miami. From everything, that device has changed the video game dynamic in my house. That game is probably the second most used device besides a computer. Super Mario Odyssey is one of those games that just does it. Hell, it brought a smile to my face, brought a smile to my daughter's face, to my son's face. I mean, it literally encompassed our lives when it came out. And again, it made me throw the wallet at the computer because I went out and bought a bundle for it. I played it on the airplane to and from San Francisco just last week. It's a joy to have. And the new season pass looks like a blast. Hoping probably pick that up during the holiday season and spend more time on that Switch. It's a system seller. Hey, I bought the bundle. So I've got, you know, the bright red Super Mario Joy-Cons. I've got the case. You know, I'm a believer. I'm moonwalking all over my comments from early 2017. I'm a believer. The Switch is the truth. Super Mario Odyssey number 2.
Paris.
And my number 2, which you already said, Danny, is Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I mean, what can you say? They took Zelda and translated it into an open world game to where if you're skilled enough, you could literally start the game and go directly to Ganon and beat it in like 20 minutes. That's how they made this game. So you can do whatever you want when you're playing. They don't hold your hand while you're going through the world. You will die, and you will die a lot. It is a beautiful game on the Nintendo Wii. Can't even believe we're still talking the Wii. It's almost 2018. But the Wii U, and obviously on the Nintendo Switch. Again, another showcase game for the Nintendo Switch, which I think has kind of been just a common theme here as we've been talking tonight. Just the Nintendo Switch as a whole is the platform of 2017. I don't even think anybody can argue that at this point. Of any platforms you could play games on in 2017, Nintendo Switch has the most Game of the Year contenders on it, without a doubt. And I think Legend of Zelda leads the pack. Obviously, it's close. I mean, I easily could have put Mario ahead of this, and my number one game ahead of this is ahead of it, obviously, but Zelda could have been number one easily. And I mean, I love it. It's a fantastic game. And once again, if you haven't played it, I definitely suggest you go run out and pick it up.
All right. Here it goes, guys. Number one. All right. The reason why I pick this game as number one game, and it's Mario Odyssey for Nintendo Switch. That's my number one game so far. And the reason why I picked that is because I feel like that game reminds me a lot of combination of a little bit of Mario Sunshine, Mario 64, and so on, right? And a little bit of Mario Galaxy too, right, Paris? A little bit of that too?
Yes.
But the thing is that I feel like this game is for everyone. Zelda, I think it was more for like a certain group of people that like that type of style of game and love that challenge and everything. But I think that Super Mario Odyssey was more for everyone. And I think it helped Nintendo to sell even more units just because of this game of the Nintendo Switch. Love the soundtrack. Love the whole experience. I love what happens after the game too. There's other things that you could do too, and you play also like bosses and everything like that. And plus, man, I don't want to say no spoiler, but it was very, very awesome. I truly, truly loved this game. And honestly, I had one of the best boss battles in years in that game. There's one particular boss I'm not going to mention because it's a spoiler. It was one of my favorite boss battles I've seen in a very long time. It was so cool. I got goosebumps. I started cracking up. Like, oh, this is awesome, man. This is so cool. And it also reminded me of playing Mario back in the days when I was a little kid because of that moment. So this game completely changed my life this year, Mario Odyssey. And props to Nintendo, man, for releasing that game. I truly, truly, truly love that game, man. So. Anybody else?
I don't know. Paris, coin flip, you or me.
No, you go ahead, Pete. I already know what your game of the year is. It's Halo 5.
I know what Paris is.
No, you don't. No, you don't know my game. Do. No, you don't.
I do. Know.
No, you do not.
Wow. I don't know Pete's. Pete's is a little bit harder.
No, I think it's pretty safe to assume while it's not a 10 out of 10, and this is my personal opinion of a game of the year, it's PUBG.
Fake news. I'm playing. Go for it.
No. PUBG has revitalized my gaming spirit in 2017. It changed my perspective. It gave me that Call of Duty Modern Warfare feeling all over again. The only difference is now I'm in the office playing it on my PC versus playing it in my living room on a controller. It got me to the point where I can't even play a controller-based game anymore. I tried playing PUBG on Xbox One, and I'm most valuable potato. But it's a game that I come home, and I'm eagerly anticipating getting home, finishing dinner, putting the kids away, or hell, sometimes starting up and then putting the kids away, you know, putting the kids to bed during a game or whatever. But after 500-plus hours, you know, having the opportunity to have met Brendan Green on several of occasions, we had him on the show. Hell, it's got me doing video content. It's got me streaming regularly every Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. It does it for me. And again, people aren't going to agree with me, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because this is my personal top favorite game of 2017. You know, issues, glitches, getting stuck in walls, getting disconnected, hitting air, and your car flips 12 times in the air. All of those contribute to the silliness that is PUBG and has revitalized my gaming spirit. And so for 2017, PUBG.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
11 out of 10. And it's not
and
perfect.
Paris
it's
was 10. Stuck in a fence too.
It's 10 out of 10, but not perfect.
It's funny how we start the show, talk about PUBG, 10 out of 10, and then Pete finish it. Yeah, number one game.
No, Paris still has to give his, so I'm anxious to see what his selection is. So,
yeah, so my number one is and always will be The Witcher 3, because it's the best game of this gen, and it always will be the best game of this gen. I'm kidding. Which, by the way, speaking of Witcher 3, CD Projekt Red just dropped that patch on Xbox for Xbox One X. So it's in 4K and HDR on Xbox One X now, which I've seen some screenshots. It looks fantastic. It's not even in HDR on the PC, so I'm a little jealous for that. But all jokes aside, my number one is Horizon Zero Dawn. The reason that it nudged out Zelda and Mario for me was the fact that this was Guerrilla Games' first attempt at an open world game. And they absolutely knocked it out of the park. It's visually stunning. The HDR implementation that it has on the PS4 is fantastic. I love the new character that we have a female protagonist now who is likable, that you want to root for. I love the world that they've created. I love, you know, the enemies, it's just everything about this game. I want more Horizon Zero Dawn. Obviously, we got the Frozen Wilds that came out here at the end of the year, but I can't wait until Guerrilla Games announced the full-on sequel for it. It is a new franchise that I'm excited to see more from. And I applaud Guerrilla Games for being a lot. First of all, let's applaud Sony and PlayStation for allowing Guerrilla Games to take their time, because this game got delayed a few times. And here's the classic example on why delaying a game is okay. Because if you need more time to get it right, take all the time you need. Guerrilla Games got the time they needed, and they made this fantastic game, which, like I said, is my favorite game for 2017. I absolutely loved it. I'm already contemplating doing a second playthrough of it now and then, jumping into the DLC and all that too. But again, if you're a PlayStation owner, absolutely go pick this up. I would go as far as to say that this is a system seller for PlayStation. You would go pick up a PlayStation to play Horizon Zero Dawn, in my personal opinion. It was that good of a game. And like I said, I'm excited to get more from it.
All right. So a couple of days ago, we talked about on our podcast that we're going to have a special giveaway of a Turtle Beach headset, the Self 700. And we got a lot of voicemails. I'm going to be playing it during the podcast. Make sure to listen to the show. You get to hear a lot of cool voice messages from listeners from all around the world. And we wanted them to give us their favorite gaming moments. All right. So there was a lot, but here's the winner of the free Turtle Beach headset. Pete, want to play it?
Hey, Danny, Pete, Harris. thank you guys so much for everything you do. My name is Andrew. I'm actually an Uber and Lyft driver here in Boston, Massachusetts, and you guys really helped me get through my day. Getting to listen to you guys between passengers is always my favorite part of the day. So with that being said, I just want to let you guys know, thank you guys so much for giving us this giveaway. I really appreciate it. Even if not winning, it's fun to call in. I've been meaning to call in, so this is, you know, a great way to get people to go ahead and do that. So, man, my favorite gaming moment from this year was getting Fortnite and having that first win, man. I love the Battle Royale game mode. I think it's a wonderful addition. Not that it hasn't been around for a while, but I think it's more becoming more mainstream now. I think a lot of more players are getting their hands on it. So, man, getting that first win was just so awesome. I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about and you guys know what I'm saying. If you get that win, man, it's awesome. The way I got it, super funny, was up in a tree. The circle just closed right in on me. There's a guy under me, and I had an RPG with like 50 health. I knew that if I hit the ground, I would die. So literally jumped out the tree, shot the guy with the RPG. It hit him as soon as it should have before I died. So, man, that was my favorite moment. I'm excited for PUBG to get finished up and finalized because at the moment, you know, in my opinion, it's not that playable. It's not that fun. But I'll go ahead and cut this voicemail a little short because I know this is a short thing. But, man, thank you guys for everything you do. And I'm hoping to get that Turtle Beach headset.
Congrats.
Yeah, congrats. I'm going to be contacting him so you can send us the information. I can send them the Turtle Beach headset, man. Congrats, man. All right, so we're going to wrap up the show, but one thing I want to mention before we finish, and I want us to predict 2018, our prediction, anything that we might see that's coming next year or what.
Is this our most anticipated at this point? Is this what you're asking?
No. This is just more predictions of 2018 because we went overboard then. the time.
It's fine. So, it's the last show of the year. Let's give the people what they want. Know, they want more content. Let's give them a most anticipated. Do you guys have, or do you guys not have like a group of most anticipated games? Because I have a group. I have four.
You do?
Yes.
So go ahead. I do.
PUBG, and PUBG because it spits on fire. I already know what you're going to say.
50 out of 10.
I'll tell you this. I'm just curious for a lot of games, but I don't know. But go ahead.
Okay.
Go.
So most anticipated, The Last Knight. I know this game had a lot of negative feedback due to some things that were said and done by the previous director, but I think I like the art style and the way the game is portraying itself. Metro Exodus is another game that I'm hyped looking forward to. Red Dead Redemption 2, highly anticipating. I'm hoping. Actually, you know, I shouldn't even hope. I mean, it's Rockstar. They could probably do no wrong, in my opinion. And then the one that I'm anticipating, but I am scared poopless, Anthem. I'm so looking forward to that game, but I am scared to death of what EA is going to do. And I truly hope that they are able to see the mistakes that they did with regards to microtransactions and whatever, all the other stuff that happened with Battlefront 2, and give us the Anthem that we saw at E3. So, of course, I'm going to say this until it actually comes out. Cyberpunk 2077. Good Lord, give me that game already.
Can you stop talking about that game or it'll never come out?
No. I'm going to keep saying it every year until it comes out. It got a better chance of this game coming out than Half-Life 3, so shush.
Pete, I agree with you about Anthem. I totally agree with you about Anthem. And I think that this will be a perfect big opportunity for EA to create this game and get a lot of those Destiny players that are disappointing, like Paris, who's disappointed with Destiny 2.
Paris play Anthem. Face.
Why not?
I shushed him. No, he's more mad because I shushed him.
Why not? So that's one. Spider-Man next year. I definitely want to play that for sure. And also a game that's coming out early this year. I mean, early 2018. Far Cry 5. I'm excited about that, man. I had a blast playing that game. Tough as hell, too. Really like that. Really like that game. I don't know about Red Dead. I need to see more. I'm tired of seeing these small clips and that's it. I want to see official gameplay footage. Official. So,
Pete, am I allowed to talk now?
Hey, I didn't interrupt you.
Shush me, so I'm being quiet.
Yeah, I shushed you because you're talking about Cyberpunk. You have a better chance of seeing Cyberpunk than you do Half-Life 3.
Well, seeing that we know that Cyberpunk is actually in development, of course, we got a better chance of seeing it. What kind of sense does that make? My most anticipated Spider-Man for the PS4, definitely. Anthem would be another one. Metro Exodus, like you said, is obviously something else that I'm really looking forward to. Beyond that, I mean, because I'm going with things that we know of, unless we're going to also speculate as well. Can I speculate too?
Absolutely. Floor
is okay. Yours, I don't know. This is Danny. Danny might shush me too. I got to ask. My Miss Leo for 2018 is going to be Splinter Cell. Boy, I think Splinter Cell is finally coming. I want Splinter Cell. I'm just saying it. I just want it. So I'm going to speculate because I want it. I want Splinter Cell. I would love to see Splinter Cell come back. Beyond that, my most anticipated, and again, speculation because it's not official, is going to be Halo 6. I want to see what 343 Studios does with Halo 6. We obviously have the Xbox One X now, so I'm expecting a 4K 60 frames per second showcase. I want to see what they got cooking for the story, how we're going to make Master Chief more relevant beyond what they did in Halo 5. And I'm excited to see, you know, what else they got under the hood, because I contend that Halo 6 will be the most important game that Microsoft has probably put out in 10 years. I think a lot for what Microsoft is trying to do, we're right on that IP. Because when we talk about system sellers, something that's going to make people go pick up a piece of hardware, Halo 6 has to be that for Microsoft in 2017. Unless there is something else that we don't know about that they got coming out. For what we know, Halo 6 is their best shot to say, you know what? I got to get an Xbox because I got to play Halo.
I want to ask you guys, your thoughts about us doing Twitch now for the first year?
I think it's crazy that, and I know this is peanuts compared to the big streamers, but like I'm literally looking at it right now. We've almost hit 100,000 views on Twitch. I think that's something. You know, it's been a crazy world. Hey, we were just at Twitch last week. We were at Twitch headquarters last week. You know, when we were up in San Francisco for Far Cry 5. We actually got to tour Twitch headquarters and see the insides and how everything works. And you'd have told me that a year ago. I'd have said you're crazy because, number one, I'd be like, well, streaming. I ain't streaming. What are you talking about? And number two, it's not that we'd be a partner on Twitch and be able to have that opportunity. So, yeah, it's been a crazy ride so far, man, and it's only going to keep getting better.
And Pete?
It's been a whirlwind tour of 2017. Again, never would have imagined that we would be putting Twitch partner in our signature, in our email signatures and on our social media banners, etc. The opportunities that has provided for us is countless. So shout out to Twitch for envisioning the opportunity for us. Shout out to Discord for blessing us with that partnership as well. Giving us an opportunity to do things that, you know, regular Discord server owners can't do for their community. Shout out to the mods on our channels, whether it's on the Twitch or whether it's on Discord, Arctic, you know, Mandy, Tanya, you know, you guys do countless hours of work, whether, you know, you realize it or not, and it's not forgotten or unseen, you know. So shout out to you guys. Shout out to the two of you, Danny and Paris. You know, you guys are my brothers. You know, we've had this conversation in person and in public. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for you guys. You know, so shout out to you guys and shout out to the goddamn community. You guys are the best.
Yeah, I love our community, man. Love it, man. And actually, too, I have to mention this. Shout out to Beaker, man. He was the one that told us about Discord.
Yeah.
And I think that was a game changer for us, because that was before we used to interact with a lot of our listeners with our old forms, right? And then we decided, let's kill the forms. Let's kill it. And yeah, we had Facebook. Yeah, we have Twitter. But it wasn't the same how it is now. And now I feel like we have an official home for us to communicate with our community. And that's Discord. So shout out to Beaker and everybody that's involved with Discord. Thank you so much for that, man. Because that to me was like a game changer for us, I think, this year. For sure.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to GamertagRadio.com or PodFest.us.
Hey, this is Alex from Delaware. I heard you guys were looking for some best memories of 2017. My favorite so far had to have been in PUBG. I had the game for a few days and was playing with a group of friends. It was probably like the second day I had it. We managed to get down to the last four teams, and I was the last person alive on my squad. So all my friends are watching me, and I'm just prone by this tree, frantically chucking frags. I hear a gunfight break out, and like the adrenaline is going. I'm all tense. The other three guys are fighting amongst each other, and I manage to pick up. It's one or two of them at the very end. I secure the win, and all my friends are yelling, and I could feel that adrenaline afterwards. My hands are shaking. My face is flushed, and it was the most intense experience I've had in a game in a long time, let alone just for 2017. So I think that's probably got to be the one for me. All right. Love the show, guys. You're one of the best gaming news podcasts that I've encountered. Keep up the good work.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just wanted to say very quickly to you guys, I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation that Paris and Pete had about comic books. I haven't been into comic books for a long, long time. I haven't been looking at the Marvel movies or anything like that. But I have to say, you guys really piqued my interest with some of these, you know, different plots and twists and the Hulkbuster theory that you had, Paris. Very, very interesting. I tell you, I know that the podcast is focused mainly on gaming, and that's what I do appreciate about it. However, I would just say that, Paris and Pete, if you guys were to start a comic book podcast, and this is coming from a guy that's never really been in to Marvel too much. I was always into Image Comics, Love Spawn, Wildcats, etc. But if you guys started that, I would be a day one supporter for that one. Call it, I don't know, Heroes and Villains podcast. I don't know, man. But anyway, just wanted to let you guys know I enjoyed that. I hope you guys have a great holiday. And like I say always, thank you guys for all of the great content. You guys take care. Bye-bye.
Let me just say this too. I'm gonna get a little soft to Charmin before we get out of here. 2017 is probably the most that the three of us have been able to interact in person in a long time, if ever. You know what I mean? Like, we've all three of us have been going to a lot of different events together. Obviously, E3. You guys were here at my home this year. You got to meet my whole family, the whole thing. You know, and It's funny. We had dinner with a nameless person last week when we were up in San Francisco, and you know, talking with that person and just the interaction that we were having, it just reminded me how much, for me anyways, I ain't going to speak for you a-holes, but for me, it's not like, as much as I say I love the gaming and all that, it's really not in this sense. None of that would matter without the friendships that we've made over the years, you know? And when I look at 2017, just some of the new friendships or even the Twitter friends that I've had that we actually got to make that face-to-face connection, you know, like at E3, at PAX and things like that. You're like, oh my God, we're Twitter friends. Now we're friends in real life. This is freaking awesome. And for as toxic as 2017 may have been in certain places, you know, there's been so much awesome too. And you guys have obviously been my brothers through all this. We talk every day. I don't even think I talk to my wife every day, but I talk to y'all every day. And through the good, the highs and the lows, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I always know you guys got my back and vice versa. And you know, that's what it's all about, man. So, you know, it's like I said, this has been a bucket list 2017 for me. I've been able to achieve some things this year that I never thought would have been possible. Look, I'll keep going back to it because for me, it was freaking amazing. The fact that I was at Bungie this year, you have no idea how special that was for me personally, because that was a studio that made one of the greatest games I've ever played in Halo. And the fact that I got to walk in that studio and see the history of everything that they've done over the past, God, I don't know, 17, 18 years, and to be a part of that and to see their workflow with what they're doing now with Destiny personally will be an all-time high for me. So I'm very thankful and blessed for everything that, you know, we've been able to accomplish together as a team.
One of my highlights, I think, this year was... What?
So, someone said, I'm going to break the fourth wall. Someone in the Twitch chat said, 2017, Paris made a lot of Twitter friends and enemies. Yeah, I did. Because I got cussed out today on Twitter. Hilarious.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, but one of my highlights, I think, this year was... actually, I have two. One was when we did the screening of the messengers, and we did it in New York City. And I had like the family. I had also a lot of our GTR members there supporting too. I mean, that was very special to me, I think. That and the one in Miami too. Very, very cool. PodFest keynote. That was awesome having the community there too, man. And another thing too, I want to mention this, is that when Marley, our dog, passed away, we had people that hit me up from the industry, a lot of people from everywhere, from the community and everything. And it was cool getting also flowers from Ubisoft. That was really cool. That was awesome. I wasn't expecting that at all. So that was cool. Very, very cool. So thanks to everybody who've been supporting and everything too, man. And also Pete, when during the hurricane, right, we were getting a lot of contacts, emails. People were like, they were worried. They wanted to see that if everything was okay in our area because of the hurricane and everything. That was cool. And actually, we never mentioned this, but we were supposed to fly out to a location, and we canceled last minute because of the hurricane. And that would have been a cool moment. All of us would have been there.
Out of the country. No,
out of the country. But we canceled it because of the hurricane. Yo, family's first to us, man.
Family's first. Absolutely. So. And shout out to those that are still affected. Shout out to Ghost B18. Shout out to El Boricua Star. Two big people from our community on Discord that are still affected. Two of the thousands that are still affected by that storm. Not a day goes by that we don't think about you guys and girls.
Yep.
So,
and we also had a listener that called from the Virgin Islands. Shout out to him. He's also been affected too because of the hurricane, and he listens to our show from over there, from Virgin Islands. So shout out to him too. Mm-hmm. Pete. Any highlights before we wrap it up for you?
Didn't I just go through those?
And that, folks, is Gamertag Radio for 2017.
Too much talking.
I have something. I don't know if you want it on the main show or the after show, but because I want to run this by Pete, too. I want to give my top seven NBA players since 1981.
Oh, my God. That's going to be the after show.
Oh, you're quantifying it now. So since 81.
I did. I quantified it the first freaking time. Read, because this is exactly what I said the first time.
This show has officially gone off the rails. And with that, thank you, everyone. Show is over. Yeah. Stay tuned for the after show. Owen,
no.
You still have a week left or two. Store.gamertagradio.com. Hit go up there. Get your limited edition shirts, hoodies, and gear, because they will not be there on the 1st of January. Limited edition, you will only find them in the store at that point. After that, they're going to be like this show in 3 minutes. They're going to be gone. So store.gamertagradio.com, only time you can get them. They will be shipping in mid-January once all of the orders have been completed and finished. So hope to see you guys soon, whether it's at a community meetup, a random meetup, at an event or something, and hopefully you're wearing the goddamn shirt.
I'm buying mine tonight. I'm buying my t-shirt and a hoodie tonight. And look, there was a lot of people that wanted shirts and hoodies. This is your opportunity right now to buy it. This will be the last time we're going to mention it for the 2017. So go right now. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for supporting us and dealing with us throughout the whole year.
That is amazing.
Because, you know, Paris, you know, makes a lot of friends and also a lot of enemies. So for those out there, there are enemies with Paris, thumbs up, man. You guys are doing a great job. All right. So go to gamertagradio.com. Also check us out on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And if you get the chance, you haven't watched the movie, go to Amazon or iTunes and download The Messenger, a podcast documentary with her. So, and I have a couple of projects that I'm working on for early next year. You guys are going to be very surprised. Very, very surprised. For early next year. And that's it. On that note, we'll be back January 8th. Until next year. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy new year. We're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Gamertag Radio is on radio.com.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.